Nutrition advice on Talk About in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Next Tuesday.
Now, Anne D'Arcy is here. Actually, Anne, speaking of Good Friday, I suppose tomorrow is a great opportunity to eat lots of fresh fish. Because you're always saying fish is so good for us. Will you be eating fish tomorrow?
I'll be eating fish tomorrow. You know, fish is great. And I suppose all the fish markets will be full of fish. All the shops are going to be full of fish today. Because it is the no meat Friday.
The traditional
day. My memory of my mother is, have we enough bread until Tuesday?
Oh, really? Because the supermarkets wouldn't be open over the weekend.
Yeah, and there wasn't the shops around the corner. There wasn't the garages. Now you're not going to run out of bread.
Yeah, absolutely not. And people have freezers as well, and they'd stick a sliced pan in the freezer. And in keeping with the Easter theme, just something interesting you want to talk about today. We've been saying a few times, the kids are at home at the moment, unless you're abroad or whatever. They're off school, and it's a great opportunity to kind of observe their general health and maybe check in with it.
And as well as that, a lot of them have given up stuff for Lent. So I went off sugar in my tea for Lent and never went back on sugar in my tea. And a lot of people all over Ireland, when you ask them, when did you give up sugar? They gave it up for Lent at some point. And a lot of kids have given up sweets for Lent and now they're going to go back on it. So it's a great opportunity to observe how were they over Lent and then how are they now? Or what are they going to be like next Sunday when they start eating all the chocolate as well?
You know, hopping off the walls.
Hopping off the walls, and is there mood changes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So when they're off for the holidays, Christmas holidays, summer holidays, and now at the moment at Easter, you get a great opportunity while they're at home in that 2 weeks to observe what way they are, right? So there's a lot of issues that we're seeing more in children. Like I listened to a doctor in America, and the youngest person that she's had with high triglycerides and high cholesterol has been in a 3-year-old. Now that's pre-diabetes, you know. So we're looking at what way we're feeding the children, and I suppose a lot of people are eating sugar and an awful lot more sugar than what we had. So when you see giving up sugar for Lent and then you see coming back on it, kind of recognize that was a really, really good thing to stay away from the sugar. And now what are you like when you come back? Because sugar is contributing to a lot of the type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and that's leading to heart disease and all the complaints down the line. So, you know, if you could feed your child for future health rather than feed your child for, you know, more than likely an illness, a long-term illness down the line, this is the time to get the children into the good habits. And when you look at a food plate that has a lot of vegetables, a lot of colour, you know, good protein, good fat, some carbohydrates, plenty of vegetables that has loads of fibre. Because, you know, we see a lot of the children nowadays with a poor appetite. One of my big things for today was to say, if the children haven't got a good appetite, why is that? We see kids getting, you know, sick more ear infections. We see a lot of, you know, when the child goes to the creche and they say, oh, they got their first antibiotic. Once they went to the creche and they met all those other kids, as if it's just a contagious place. Kids are building their immunity, but we now go with the antibiotics. But when you take an antibiotic, even though it might have been necessary at the time for the high temperature, it disturbed the gut bacteria, it disturbed the way you make the B vitamins, it disturbed your energy, it disturbed so many different things. And if it has disturbed the making of enzymes in the stomach, the chain reaction of the antibiotic is you've disturbed the way you make enzymes. You may not be able to digest the protein foods like you used to. So I can see a small child eating steak and then they get an antibiotic and they can't eat it anymore. And they go to eating more bread and cheese and they've stopped eating vegetables and fruit. So it would be lovely for me to say to every single person, I want you to, if you can, meat, fish, eggs, cheese, nuts, seeds, you know, that good protein source, right? That's all very good. You know, the nuts and seeds are great. Having berries, eating fruit, eating vegetables. I'm seeing the parents with children that are saying, my child stopped eating those. They're not eating those for me. I wish they would eat those for me.
And you're saying it's because of antibiotics?
It's the change in the gut bacteria, that a combination of antibiotics that they're taking, or maybe even antibiotics from the food supply, or that they've had to have steroids for asthma or skin, or, you know, even chlorinated water has been shown to have an impact on the bacteria in the gut. So there are certain things that have become more toxic to the children in this day and age. So we can look back at Good Friday and what was it like, right? But you also can look back at what was our childhood like. We didn't have the fizzy drinks. We got 7-Up boiled when we were sick. You know, we got heated 7-Up. The fizz was gone out when it was like giving us sugary water when we were sick and vomiting or something. now you'd have diuretics to give, but back then you just had the sugar water that was 7-Up. But we didn't have, you know, the sports drinks that are for, you know, you just did a big sports event. We have small children having sports drinks. We see them with, you know, yellow colourings and red colourings, and then we see them getting hyper. And we,
you're not a fan of those at all, Anne, in any context, those sports drinks.
See, the sports drinks, if you've done a lot of exercise, but if you've done an hour, you should have enough in your food to replenish you for all those electrolytes in your foods.
If you're eating properly, you don't need them, in other words.
You don't need them. And what they have is, they have colourings and they have sugars, and then they have artificial sweeteners because we started to control how much sugar a child can have. So if you look at a lot of those drinks, there is some sugar and then there is also some sweeteners. And they're not as good for children as what you would think. That, you know, they're not really good. So cutting down the sugar and the sports drinks, or even the sugary cereals, they're another one, or even the sugary granola bars. If you start looking to see how much sugar am I feeding, so if you spend the next 2 weeks looking at the labels and saying, if 1 teaspoon is 5 grams of sugar, look at the label and how much did the child eat, and start counting up how much sugar the child had.
And take it all into account.
Yeah.
And just speaking there about energy and energy drinks and that, let's say there's a mom listening to us and she has three small boys, and they're all playing hurling and football or whatever. They're all children, and they have a match coming up at 5 o'clock this evening or whatever. What should she be giving them to give them that little bit of energy? I mean, obviously, you don't want them having the big dinner before they go out to play the hurling match, but what could they be eating snack-wise that would be healthy and nutritious and would give them a nice level amount of energy?
They're better off with some fruit, because the fruit with its fibre will have a slower release of energy. The fruit juice or the sports drinks is going to rise your sugar, give you a high insulin and cause your sugar to plummet. Halfway through the match, you could be tired. So if you were to have nuts and seeds that have protein in them, then that can give you a more prolonged effect. No child needs to carb load before a match. That's a theory that came with the long distance, long duration. Every one of us have enough glycogen to last us at least an hour. You know, we should have that stored sugar in our system for an hour, so we can withstand that level. They're better off drinking water, and maybe even if you start getting a big jug of water and you start cutting fruit into it. So one day you have oranges cut in, another day you have lemons, another day you have pineapple, you know, strawberries, grapes. They give that water a certain flavour. So a child who doesn't drink water will drink flavoured water by you getting them used to having some fruit in there. But you can take even a juice, an orange, and you juice it yourself. You're getting the sugar of that into that water. But when you start pouring fruit juice in, fruit juice still that you're buying, cartons of fruit juice, there's still quite a lot of sugar in that, and quite a lot of maybe sweeteners, something that's, you know, there's still artificial something in
E
those.
Numbers, is it?
Those numbers.
Those things, yeah.
Yeah, but artificial sweeteners are not the best thing. And, you know, and you're trying to, you, if you could only get your child used to drinking plenty of water, it's going to flush out the system. And if you could, you know, the little bags of trail mix that you've got, mixture of different nuts, and sometimes there's raisins and there's some other dried fruits, or if you could have dates have a slow release of sugar. It's quite sweet. There is a stone, or you can get the pitted date. And if they were to chew a few of those and swallow them before they go having a match, they will take that little sugar hit, but the fiber that's in that, and if you took that with some nuts, you're going to get a slower release. But meat and vegetables and some potato, you know, or meat and vegetables and some pasta, or some whole grain rice. The more whole grain a food is, the better. The more it's in its natural form, the better. So a potato in its jacket, you know, doesn't rise the sugar as much as even chips. You know, the diabetics will tell you their sugar will rise much faster on French fries than it will on a potato. And when you take a potato, I love to see somebody putting real butter on the potato, because the butter with the potato slows the release of the sugar from the starch from the potato.
Mm.
So I often say, well, what are you eating? Oh, they're having a cereal and they're having it with juice. And I'd say sugar and sugar. But if you could start a child's day with eggs, making an omelette, or even making pancakes, that you have plenty of eggs in that pancake with some whole milk or some yogurt, and then putting in, you know, whatever form of flour. That can be almond flour if you're not going to do the wheat flour, and that would be higher in protein. But even if you were to do wheat flour, do it as a whole wheat flour or a spelt flour, which is also higher in protein.
You could still make a pancake that way.
And you can make a pancake, and you can actually have pancakes made, and they can take it off on their lunchbox, because then that lunch has pancake that's made with more eggs, you know, maybe a spelt flour maybe with a full fat yogurt, you can see, and maybe fried in butter, that the butter is soaked into it. By the time they're eating that at lunch, they're getting protein, fat and carbohydrate. Because for concentration at school, or even concentration in a match, as you said, if you have good, stable blood sugar that's not going up and down, you are going to be able to concentrate. You're going to stay focused. Your mood is not going to be irritable. You're not going to be so sensitive that people are hurting your feelings. You're actually going to be present in the classroom. You know?
Okay. I've got to take a break at this stage, but a lot of people, no doubt, will want to ask you questions about this. If you have any nutrition-related question for Anne Darcy, she's going to stay with us for another while after this break. 083 300 3300 if you'd like to give us a shout. Back in a moment.
Nutrition advice on Talkabout, in association with Anne Darcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, we're talking about tweaking your child's diet over the Easter holidays when you're in a position to observe them a little bit better. And just to come back to the whole sugar thing as well, you see, I think a lot of parents out there still believe that the only place that they're really having sugar, the kids are only having sugar, is if they have chocolate or sweets or whatever. But you were saying to me there in the ad break, sugary cereals are just as bad, and you have to count that in as well.
You have to count that in as well, because a sugary cereal is going to rise their sugar and lower their sugar. But if you look at the back of the box of what you are buying, whether it's cereals or it's granola bars that you're sending them off for lunches with, and just look at how much sugar is in it. And 1 teaspoon is 1 gram of sugar. And then I'll challenge you, go and get your bag of sugar and get out a nice dark bowl and then spoon in the equivalent amount of sugar that your child has had in that day.
And is there any breakfast cereal at all? I mean, obviously porridge and eggs and those things, but is there any actual breakfast cereal that is not as bad for sugar that
well,
you know of?
You know, we grew up with Weetabix, and now there's also Otabix if wheat doesn't suit you. And, you know, I suppose, like, all of the cereals are more processed. And if you could, and I suppose it depends on how a child is reacting, but there's not as much added sugar into those, just very plain cereals, you know. But, and again, I'm not here to promote or not promote. I really want people to be looking at what are they eating, and then how are they reacting to what they are eating. And if their appetite isn't good enough to be able to handle an egg breakfast, or, you know, meat left over from last night, or that you're having, you know, cheese or something that they can tolerate, you know, even some berries with some full fat yogurt, and if they could have some seeds, even if it's the ground up seeds, they're going to be getting protein, fat and carbohydrate. But you just don't want to have it as a high starch, high sugar breakfast.
And by the way, if anyone out there can tell me where you can get Otabix, because Anne has recommended it a few times and I can never get it in any supermarket, I can never find Otabix. So if anyone knows where we can buy it, tell me. A couple of questions for you, Anne. A listener says they have a 9-year-old child who is anxious and sensitive and is wondering, are there any particular foods that might help with that?
And then you have to ask, when did they become anxious and sensitive? Because the serotonin and the GABA, the chemical GABA, calms your brain, and the serotonin lifts your mood and helps your perception of what is stressful. And when your gut bacteria don't make enough of those brain chemicals, then that child becomes more anxious or more sensitive. And you really want to culture the gut and get the gut back working. So, you know, we have Infant Blend, Udo's Infant Blend probiotic, that is really recolonizing the gut bacteria up to about a 6-year-old. And then after that, there's more probiotics. If this child has had antibiotics and never had a probiotic, I would nearly, as a 9-year-old, I would nearly say, go and have that Infant Blend, because it's given Bifido Infantis. That is also one of the ones that will make serotonin. Alflorex and Zenflor are also 2 probiotics that came out of the study with Professor Ted Dynan and Professor John Cryan in Cork, where, you know, they have discovered these bacteria that are in the gut that should be there. And if they're not there, you're not producing these brain chemicals. This goes for adults and for children.
Yeah, I've seen Alflorex in a lot of places. You can get that in any chemist
health shops.
Yeah.
They're a popular probiotic. But what you're looking to do is to recolonize the gut with the bacteria that makes it, and then you want fiber that's going to feed the gut bacteria. But almonds and sunflower seeds are also high in tryptophan. So is bananas, cheese, chocolate. They all have tryptophan. So, you know, if the child isn't dairy intolerant, you know, giving them a yogurt with the tryptophan can help raise the serotonin. Putting some ground up seeds, if they're not going to chew the seeds, the ground seeds will have all that tryptophan, but it's going to mix in with the yogurt and maybe with the berries and making that as their breakfast.
So Aflorex as well, as well as those dietary changes.
I do feel that we need probiotics to go back in to start recolonizing the gut. We need the good fiber to feed the bacteria, but you also need the food. You know, you're not going to send your child on a bar of chocolate, because chocolate is also has high tryptophan, but the dairy. So you start using yogurt that's a cultured dairy product.
Speaking of probiotics, a listener says, could Anne recommend a good probiotic for a 16-year-old girl without a bulking agent, please, to help acid in her stomach? What's a bulking agent?
I don't know. Unless they're talking about having slippery alum powder or something in with the probiotic. But like Udo's probiotic, for example, is a nice, gentle probiotic. It has 8 strains, Udo's Super 8. But if she has acid in her stomach, remember, she's not properly digesting her food. And if she was to take, say, Udo's enzyme, because Udo's enzyme has enzymes that will help to digest the food. You want to digest the food so it's not fermenting. Fermenting food is producing this liquid that's rising up that's like acid. And it's burning and it feels like acid. But if you were digesting the food better, you wouldn't be producing this ferment that rises and causes the burning. So I believe in taking a digestive enzyme as a capsule, or taking pineapple or kiwi fruit, or papaya, if you can get your hands on it, because they have natural digestive enzymes. So help support the digestion, as well as taking a probiotic.
We have a lady in her 60s and she's taking medication for her heart and for cholesterol. She has tea and toast in the morning with beans and cheese, but afterwards she has to run to the toilet. She says, is it digestive or gut tablets I need?
Well, are you reacting to one of those foods? So if you were to take out one of those foods for a week, see, do you still run to the toilet? So
skip the beans one week, skip the cheese,
and skip the bread or switch the bread completely. Remember, there's a lot of gluten-free bread options. Now, you might also be reacting to the different starchy foods, the high sugar foods, and that's running through you. There could be a candida fungal overgrowth, you know. So, you know, I believe in helping you digest your food by taking digestive enzymes until you start making your own. There is also a product out there, Swedish Bitters, that was always a way of stimulating your own digestion. Apple cider vinegar can help you stimulate the bitterness, and so can lemon juice in water.
I think she's wondering, that lady is probably wondering, if there's a connection between her heart and cholesterol medication and the runs she's getting.
You know what?
Maybe, I don't know.
Was she getting the runs before she ever... did she start these tablets and now she's getting diarrhea? Or, you know, is she somebody who's got a poor stomach and now her heart has gone out of order? Is that...
Yeah,
that question is phrased.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think she's just wondering what it is that she needs. So you would suggest that she slowly starts removing.
Just remove one of the foods.
Trial and error.
I would take the wheat first.
Okay.
Now, unless she just started having beans and then she started getting loose bowel just because she started on the beans, you know, and then so I would often look at what are you eating, and I would help to support her digestion to help eat those foods, because we can't take everybody and take every child, for example, every adult off all of the foods. It really benefits us to try and digest that food, help the digestion.
Listener, this is kind of a controversial one, because I know the cervical vaccine is always a bit controversial, but a male caller, he said his daughter received the cervical vaccine, but now she's experiencing fatigue, muscle spasms, restless leg, and is prone to ear infections. Can Anne explain this? Well, Anne doesn't make the vaccines anyway, for starters.
No, but again, everyone has their own sensitivity to things, and some people are more sensitive. So if I said we have a genetic predisposition, we have an environmental toxicity, there is never going to be something that helps everybody without being detrimental to somebody. So then you have to ask, what are you suffering with? So what she is suffering with is muscle cramps. So I find a lot of people have gone low in magnesium, and they may have been low in magnesium before. So muscle cramps, and what did you say, restless leg,
and she's now prone to ear infections.
So with the restless legs, I would say that she has a need for more magnesium. Every bit of energy you make in your body, you need magnesium. And you need magnesium to relax muscles. So magnesium is in all green vegetables, and it's in nuts and seeds, or you buy a supplement. So, you know, I'll often get a powdered magnesium. So Nature's Plus Camassure magnesium is the one I like to take myself. And it's 400 milligrams in a scoop, and then you get a drink bottle, like I have a 750 one here, and you put in a scoop and you just keep sipping it through the day, or you take one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and you see if you take too much, you're going to have a loose bowel. So that's how you know, and then you can cut back down. Now, I get in trouble for saying that kind of thing, but I'm just saying, this is what I, if I'm in a consultation, this is how I would advise.
This is what you would say.
She probably needs magnesium, sorry, for the muscle cramps and the restless legs and the fatigue, magnesium would be a big need for her. And what was the other thing that you said she had?
Prone to ear infections.
So ear infections, if something has changed and you're not digesting food properly, and undigested food has moved into your gut lining, your mucosal immunity has made a shift in some way, and you trigger the production of mucus. So when your nose runs, it's often in reaction to something that you didn't digest. And the same, the glue ear is that you are now, the mucus, the liquid in your ear is thickening. And it's the same when somebody coughs phlegm, you know, there's mucus. So these mucosal linings have gone into some form of an overreaction, and she is now producing excess mucus that is producing the chest the ear infections. And as well as that, your whole immunity is meant to fight all those ear infections. So if she's having a harder time fighting those, then she may have got the vaccine and it has disturbed her immunity, which is what we're seeing it as well with all the vaccines, where some people are reacting in a way that their own immune system has been disturbed. We're seeing things like what they call mast cell disorders. The mast cell makes histamine. We see people becoming more allergic or with a lot more histamine reactions. You know, people who are getting low blood pressure. We're seeing people with POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia, that when they change their position, their heart is racing and their blood pressure is dropping. Lots of different things. Everyone is so individual. Like, you're individual to me. What you eat, you can tolerate what I eat. And sometimes I can't tolerate what you have. You can't tolerate what I have.
And our tolerances change as well.
Our tolerances change. What they call oral tolerance is what you're eating and how your body reacts to what you're eating. But you can be inhaling something and not be able to handle that. And then you're getting inhalant allergies. So there's a lot of changes that are happening to people. We have environmental, the smoke out there. There's somebody has a vape and it's really aggravating one person. Somebody else walks by cigarette smoke and they're heaving. You know, everyone has their own sensitivities. Each individual has to be looked at. So when I'm seeing people that are coming who would say, I've had a reaction to whatever, there's lots of things people have reactions to. I'm looking at the individual. What do I need to rebuild? What went wrong? What do I think I need to rebuild to bring you back to health?
It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Not at all.
And we have to go. The time is gone, unfortunately. But thank you for all of that. I think you gave the parents of Kerry who are listening this afternoon some great pointers for what to look out for over Easter. A quick reminder, you are based at the All Therapy Clinic on Rock Street here in Tralee. And if you want to give out any more details there.
So I'm there on a Thursday. So my number, 087-775-9385. And All Therapy's number is 066-718-5229.
If anyone wants to make an appointment. And have a lovely Easter.
You too, and thank you.